Well, God bless. It's great to see everybody here wanting to learn how to get out of the lion's den. But before I get into that, I want to share something out of John chapter 10, verse 10. And I'd like you to turn there. I know you guys know this verse, but I have to show you something in that verse that, well, it just might bless you. But before I do that, I think we need to do our mantra. Are you guys ready to do our... I'm just kidding. Are you what the Word of God says you are?
I am.
Well, let's do it, okay? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Does anybody want to try it in Spanish?
Yes.
Okay. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. There's just nothing better than getting all warmed up on the Word, huh? Well, John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us, the thief, oh, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then Jesus continues on to say, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. For years, most of us have looked at this verse in a light like we are supposed to be living the more than abundant life. Living the more than abundant life. But that's not what Jesus says here. He says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me ask you a question. When you become a Christian, when you are born again, do you or do you not have more than abundant life? The answer is yes, you do have it. When you are born again, you are given a form of life that far exceeds any form of life that you've ever had before. The life that you had before was soul life. That's it. And it could only take you so far. You couldn't go any farther than the five senses. But when you receive the gift of Holy Spirit, Christ in you, you were given a more than abundant life. My next question to you is, do you live the more than abundant life? I'd like to say I do. I can't answer that question for anybody else. I can maybe speak for my wife. Okay? She does too. Okay. I'd like to say that I live the more than abundant life. And I want you to answer that question. And this now involves your lifestyle. This involves how you feel, how you think, how you act, how you wish, how you desire, how you put your plans in place, how you implement your body. Isn't that a funny way to look at it? But it's true. See, we have a lot of soul relationships here. I don't have any relationships with your bodies, okay? I've got relationships with your souls and how your souls energize your mind and then how you speak and how you act and so forth. So, how you implement your body has all to do with whether or not you are moving in an abundant, more than abundant life, lifestyle or direction. So how do you implement your body? So we've just talked about two questions. Number one, do you have the more than abundant life? And the answer is yes. Okay. Okay. So I want you to remove this, gosh, I wonder if I'll ever attain it attitude. Just wipe it off the map. Get rid of it. You have it. And you should applaud yourself for that because you confess Jesus as Lord and you believe that God raised him from the dead. But the next question, does your body show it? Have you implemented it into your body so that others see it? Well, I can't answer that one for you. But I can the first one, and I am so relieved. Every one of you have it. So if you're sitting there wondering, gosh, will I ever achieve this thing? You already have. You got it, baby. You got it. Now I want to see some I got it attitudes and actions. Because if you are not fully committed to what you've been given freely, then you will not manifest it. You have to be fully committed to it. Your heart has to be into it. Your body has to be into it. Your mind has to be into it. And your soul has to be into it. So enough of this sitting on the fence stuff. Okay? We want to be fully committed Christians. And I want to see you guys implement your bodies into the more than abundant lifestyle. You know what implement means? I know some of you here that has some farm implements. My brother Dave just bought a big old red tractor. Orange. Red, orange, what the heck. I guarantee you're going to see him coming. That's a farm implement. And what he does is he implements the tractor to do farm work, to do gardening. He calls it gardening. I call it farm work because anytime you need a tractor, it's a farm, okay? It's no longer a garden. And what he does is he takes that tractor and implements it to work his farm. Pretty cool, huh? What do you do with your body? See, I don't have any relationships with your bodies. I got a relationship with my wife's body, but not yours, okay? That's what the marriage is all about. But I have relationships with your souls. And so when I look at you, I'm not looking at your body, okay? Now, I might notice something, I guess. Maybe if I need to help bring healing into your life. But other than that, I'm purely interested in your soul. I'm purely interested in that beautiful life within. And I'm really interested in how Holy Spirit is coupled with that life. And in a sense, it has become one. And then how you use it. So you might be all concerned about how you look, how you come off and that kind of stuff. How you come off maybe gets into the soul part a little bit. But I'm only interested in the relationship that I should have with you. Okay. Now, could I have a relationship with you that I shouldn't have? Yes. But we don't have that. Okay. So I want you to be like that. I want you to have a relationship with other people's souls. That's why you're attracted to somebody. Don't tell me it's the body. Okay, that's good when you're a teenager, but after that, things start to fall apart a little bit. Okay, I'm interested in your soul. When you talk to me, your soul is breathing on me. Your soul is covering me. And when I talk to you, my soul comes out to you. And they meet. That's how it works. It's life. I know most people don't talk about this aspect of life, but that's okay. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's the way it is, and you just never talked about it like that before. Well, you have the more than abundant life. The question of whether you're implementing your body into the more than abundant lifestyle is only what you could answer. I'm telling you, I do. That's where you're going to find your struggles, in the implementation phase. Because if your desire is to actually implement your body into the more than abundant lifestyle, knowing that you have the more than abundant life, you might find yourself challenged. I'm not talking about physical handicaps, because none of you have physical handicaps that keep you from implementing your body into the more than abundant lifestyle. Nobody here does. Oh, I know you think you do. But you don't. Trust me. You want to see people who had trouble implementing their bodies into the more than abundant lifestyle? Just come talk to me. We'll go on a drive. I'll show you. Okay? So you're okay. But if you really want to implement your body into the more than abundant lifestyle, you will be challenged at times. And today, if you find your body, and by the way, your soul would be there too, because the way God designed the body and soul, the soul is just stuck with the body. The soul doesn't leave the body. The soul is spirit. It's a life force, and it's a life form, but it's not leaving your body. So wherever your body is, your soul's going to be there too. Now your soul's going to be the thing that says, I don't want to be here. Your body just is along for the ride, because that's how your soul moves around with your body. So if you implement your body in any given way, it's because your soul is more or less directing it. And you've heard terms like the free-spirited person, things like that, where they're, or a willing soul, where they're focusing on the soul aspect. Well, it's true. But if you find your body somewhere, it's because your soul took you there. On the other hand, if you find your body in a lion's den, maybe something else helped get it there. And maybe you were right along with it for a while, but now all of a sudden you're feeling, mm-mm. I don't want to be here. Anybody feel like that? You say, you're going, Jerry, come on, man. I mean, that's like every day. No, I hope nobody's doing that. Becky's sitting back there with a big grin on her face. Becky and I talk about lion's dens. Actually, anybody that talks to me about a lion's den, honestly, because everybody's tempted with it. You know what a lion's den is, don't you? It's a place where there's lions. Okay? Big mouths coming at you, trying to get you in a mouth of a lion. Maybe you're in the mouth of a lion. You ever thought about that? Well, people quite often look at Daniel in the lion's den as a story of Daniel's deliverance from a den of lions. And that's it. Well, that's okay. Daniel got delivered from a den of lions. He took a stand on God's word. Some people came after him. Boom. Lion's den. And that's about it. I like to draw parallels between Christianity and the Old Testament when and where it's okay to do. As long as the New Testament, our church epistles, more or less, line up and support what is in the Old Testament, it's okay to apply those things in a parallel sense. But when and where Christianity doctrine doesn't line up with what's in the Old Testament, don't do it. Like, you know, the way sins are handled, forgiveness of sins and that kind of stuff. I'd like to take this a step further and show you how to get out of your lion's den. Now, you say, Jerry, I'm not in one right now. I say, great, just put this teaching on the back burner. But on the other hand, if you're saying, gosh, I'm glad I came today. The devil's the one that puts you in the lion's den. Let's call that point number one. I got about 11 of them. But you don't have to number them. I'm just going to talk about them. The devil's the one that puts you in the lion's den. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'll show it to you. God never puts you in the lion's den. If you listen to the religious rhetoric that abounds in our societies and say things like, you know, God's testing me. Yeah, God's, you know, proving me. You're way off base. Because there is no biblical Christian documentation for that. None. It's not in there. But if you go in the Old Testament, you'll see tons of it. The Bible says that the devil acts like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Wow. The roaring lion walking about. He's just walking about. It's almost like it's not a lion's den today. It's almost as if, well, the lion's still free to roam. And so if this roaring, roaming lion, the devil, happens to be around you and for some reason can get his teeth on you, that's when you go into the lion's den. Now, maybe he just does his work on you out in the broad open, but maybe not. But that's not the point of this teaching. He's walking, he's roaring, and he wants to sink his teeth in. Okay? And you are supposed to be sober and be vigilant. Those are two points. And you're to resist him steadfast in the faith. So the nature of this walking, roaming, roaring, teethy thing is that he wants to devour you, but at the same time, you can avoid that by resisting. And you resist in the Christian faith by standing as a Christian. Okay? And one comforting factor, when you see those teethy things coming at you, when you see them coming at you, remember that you're not the only one going through this. Whatever it is you're going through, it doesn't matter. You think you got it bad? So do some other people. And I guarantee you, oh, I'm telling you, I'd put a pot of gold on this one. You'll always, always be able to find somebody that has it worse than you. So that ought to give you a little hope. And if you sink a little lower, the rule still applies. Now, you don't want to keep sinking. You want to stop the sinking process. But that's a comforting factor nonetheless. We often look at this as if the people are the devil. You know, oh, you're so devilish. And we say things like that. Oh, that person's so devilish. And they might be. And we look at them like they're the people that are devouring us, or the things that are devouring us. Well, I'd like to say that while people may have the devil in them sometimes, it's still the devil that devours. That's his job. You don't see the devil, and you don't see the Lord. I'm a Christian. And when I speak of the Lord, I'm speaking of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think like that, because when you read the New Testament and you see the word the Lord in there, you need to know who it's talking about. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ when the word God isn't in the same verse or context. If you see God in the context or even in the same verse, then more than likely the Lord is talking about the Lord God. Now that's different. Okay. And so the devil is invisible to you, and so is the Lord. The Lord is the head of the Christian church. The devil is the head of the devil's church, or whatever you want to call that slimy mess. So the devil's responsibility is to be that teethy creature. Okay? And the Lord's responsibility, we need to define. I'd like to say that it's time for you to lift your eyes off of your troubles and your perceptions of the cause or causes of those troubles and focus on what God's word has to say about deliverance. In other words, quit thinking about yourself so much and let's get back to the word. The Lord Jesus Christ, this would be point number two if you like numbers, will deliver you from the mouth of the lion. He literally will take you out of the lion's den. That's his job. He's got a lot of jobs as head of the church and our big brother in Christ and all that stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us that. And Paul spoke of this there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. There's no God here. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ stood with me. Well, Paul knew it. Jesus Christ must have shown himself in that regard. And strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. I always like to say, you're supposed to pray to God, and the only time you ever get to talk to Jesus Christ is if he comes knocking on your door. That's what the Bible teaches. So you don't sit around praying to Jesus. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. You're thinking, gosh, Jerry, I think here it's just talking about the real thing, like a real teethy thing. But when you read the next verse, it says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Well, there you have it. And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Boy, we could say that with some gusto. So we learn that the Lord will stand with you. If you want to get out of the lion's den, some people like to stay in there. The Lord will stand with you. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord does this to support your preaching. Now that could be speaking the word, but moving the word, let's say, to make your moving of the word fully known so that all could hear, everybody in your circles. The Lord will deliver you out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver you from every evil work. And the Lord shall preserve you unto his heavenly kingdom. There you have it. Anybody disagree with that? Oh, good. I love it. As head of the Christian church, these are aspects of his job. I'd like to say a few things to that. The devil makes you feel as if you are alone and that no one is standing with you to help you. Well, that would be in contrast with the Lord will stand with you. If you're in the den, you are afraid and feeling alone. The devil sucks your strength right out of you. And that would be in contrast to the Lord will strengthen you. When you are weak, well, you're an easy target. Simple as that. You have no apparent spiritual or physical strength in the den. The third one is in the den, you aren't accomplishing anything for the move of the word. Nothing spiritual is being made fully known. And that would be in contrast to the Lord does this to support making your preaching fully known so that all in your circles could hear. In the den, the devil has his mouth around your throat. He hasn't eaten you. He's preparing you for a meal. And that would be in contrast to the Lord will deliver you out of the mouth of the lion. It says out of the mouth of the lion. So it's way past the walking, roaming, roaring situation. You are in the mouth of the lion. That's why I say no matter how bad your situation is, other people have it far worse than you, and you need to take your eyes off your troubles and the perceived causes of your troubles and focus on the word of deliverance. It's time. Because I want you to be implementing your body in the way of the more than abundant life. In the den, you can observe every evil work about you. They're there. Oh my gosh. Oh my. The devil prepares you for one of his meals by coaxing or even forcing you to participate in evil works. Well, that would be in contrast to the Lord shall deliver you from every evil work. No fear there now, right? Gosh, Jerry, I feel better already. Well, you ought to. And then the last one is in the den, you think your life is over and that you have no preservation. That would be in contrast to the Lord shall preserve you unto his heavenly kingdom. The devil removes all hope from you. Well, I like to say it's time to get out of the den. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands, but in your heart of hearts, I want you to answer the question, do you want to get out of your den if you're in one? I want you to make a decision. And it's okay to talk to yourself. I want you to look deep within your heart and say, yeah, he's right. Yeah, I'm in a den. Those teeth have got me. And I need out. Because I should be implementing my body in the way of the more than abundant life. I know I have the more than abundant life. But I should be implementing my body. I should be moving in the direction of the more than abundant life all the time. All the time. I know you'll have hiccups, but who doesn't have a hiccup once in a while? We're not talking about hiccups, folks. We're talking about teeth around the throat. We're talking about you're taken down, you're down for the count, and you're about ready to be gobbled up. Okay? It's time to get out of the den. In Daniel chapter 6. And if it is time to get out of the den, what better way to start than to read about Daniel's experience? There's one little chapter in the whole Bible about Daniel's experience of the lion's den. I want to tell you something. This chapter brings more hope than almost any other chapter in the Bible. Its design is to give you a new lease on life. Because when you read it, sparkles go off. When you read it, life is literally infused into your soul. That's the nature of it. If you ever want to see the dynamic reality of how the Word brings life, just read Daniel chapter 6. Anytime, day or night, it doesn't matter. Just open your Bible and read it, and you will see what I'm talking about. Verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. An excellent spirit was found in him. Well, that would be the third point. You have an excellent spirit. And that's a parallel between the old and the new. And the devil can't tolerate it. You must know the perfection of your gift of Holy Spirit. You must know that. You must realize that. You can walk around and feel like you're down in the dumps and be Debbie, what was it? Downer. Debbie Downer all day long. But you still have an excellent spirit. So maybe you ought to think about it. That is exactly what makes you a target. The devil can't tolerate it. He can't tolerate such goodness and light in this dark world. So number 4, the devil will go through his fault-finding phase to attack you. You can never be found at fault as a Christian, and you must know this. Then, verse 4, the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, and they could find none occasion nor fault. Small wonder. Is there anything wrong with your gift of Holy Spirit? No. Is there anything wrong with you having the more than abundant life? No. Wow. Well, this is how an attack is planned against you. The devil's team, oh yes, they do team up against Christians at times, will seek to find occasion against you concerning the devil's kingdom. Spiritually, they can never find fault. Turn to Romans chapter 8, or come back here. There is never error or fault in you spiritually regarding the Christ in you, Holy Spirit. Never. It's called incorruptible seed. There's just no corruption. Even if you are doing wrong as a Christian, the devil can never bring a charge against you. You're a Christian. This is where you can't draw a parallel with the Old Testament. We left them in the dust. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is another section of Scripture that would just sparkle life all over you when you read it, anytime, day or night. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? It's just never going to stop. I'm not good enough. Sorry. I don't feel like God loves me today. Sorry. I haven't been a good person for a long time. Sorry. I've got an envy problem. Sorry, my envy's turned into jealousy. Sorry, I've got an anger problem. Sorry, and on and on and on. Those are the high runners, by the way, in the Bible. The first characteristic of agape is putting off anger. That's why I call it a high runner. If you go to the Old Testament, I guess the worst thing of the worst is envy, because it breeds jealousy. And then you got hate. And then you could even have murder. Woo! You don't want to go down that road. You just don't want to go down that road, okay? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, I will. I'm going to talk badly about me today. And I'm just going to be Debbie Downer today on me all day long. See, I'm doing such a good job. Okay, if nobody can you? No. You can never remove the greatness of what's in you, no matter what you do. You just can't touch it. Well, is it God that justifieth? No. Is God going to hurt you? No. Is he going to come down on you? No. Who is he that condemneth? God? Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? These guys are on your team. I don't care what you feel like. We're going back to Daniel chapter 6. You could feel like Debbie Downer herself. I mean, you could be on front and center stage. Wow, check it out. Debbie Downer's walking down the runway. Look at what she's modeling. She's modeling frustration and despair and all these nasty feelings and things that come in. Look, oh, gosh. Boy, they really got her decked out today. Wow, Debbie Downer, front and center stage, huh? You might feel just like that sometimes, but I'm telling you, this has nothing to do with who you are in Christ. And if you ever want to get out of the lion's den, you've got to be willing to stop looking at your troubles and to stop focusing on the causes or the perceptions of the causes of those troubles. Because both of them are going to take you down a wrong road. It's one thing to stop thinking about how miserable you are, but it's another thing to forget the grudge stuff, you know, or to try to find blame on somebody else. Hey, there's always a reason for a bad thing, okay? You don't have to be a professional in finding it. Just leave it alone. You know, we've talked about forgiveness, okay? Maybe somebody has wronged you, and maybe you feel badly because of that. Okay, but the Bible says to forgive them. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to trust them again right away, because trust and forgiveness are two separate things here. So go ahead and forgive the person and forget the situation. But if it was bad, where they really hurt you, they abused you, remember the whole thing on abuse? You don't have to trust them again. And you can just tell them that. This is not a game. I don't want you to be abused. I want you to be free in life. I want you to recognize abuse. Well, there you go. Well, we live in a different time. And I want to tell you something, folks. We're never to be captured and put in a lion's den. Never. It should be so far below you. You know, you can stand right up and get out of it. But see, there's the mind. Yeah, the mind, it gets in the way. Oh, gosh, I just wish I didn't think like this. I wish I didn't feel like this. Oh, this mind of mine. And you go through this thing on a daily basis sometimes. The mind gets in the way. Oh, you could just stand up and get out of it. It's that easy, because you have such a glorious spirit within you. But a lot of times you don't, or you can't, because you have so altered the normal progression of thinking, the way you ought to think. And now you got to reprogram yourself. Stop thinking this way, start thinking that way. Do it. Okay? That's why I say just do it. Number 5, if you're keeping numbers, for some of you number fanatics, The devil stages an attack by trying to use the word against you. So you need to know what the word says about you being a Christian. And if you find yourself in the lion's den, more than likely you don't. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You believe the devil's team's going to go looking in the Bible for something? Well, they do. You just know the Bible and don't worry about it. The devil knows what the word says about you, folks. He also knows the Christians who don't know what the word says about them. Well, that's a bad combination. That's just real bad, okay? That chili's not going to taste very good. If you have those two ingredients making up the pot of your troubles, you got troubles. Well, these kind of people are easy targets. The devil's team will try to find occasion against Christians by finding out what they aren't doing with the word. Number 6, the devil will have the laws rewritten in his kingdom, okay, so that you can be brought into his den. Verse 6, then these presidents and princesses assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever, blah, blah, blah. They do this through people against you. They work to get people in your circles to think less than the word about you. That's the whole goal. Well, if I'm thinking the word about you, don't we have a great relationship? If you're thinking the word. Okay. But if I stop thinking the word about you, something goes wrong. Wow. What a revelation. So when we have wrong in a relationship, don't we know that somebody is not thinking the word? And so when wrong rears its ugly, nasty teeth, and that's exactly what they are, ugly, nasty teeth, you got to recognize it. You got to get humble to the word it says. That's right above the roaring lion thing in James, and focus on the word. Verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, king, we're not going to, King, we're not going to do this to you. Oh, gosh, these guys are crazy. He shall be cast into the den of lions, except you, King. Now, O King, establish this decree and sign the writing, and it shall not be changed. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, by the way, we had that law, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Don't ask me why he lowered himself to this, but that's what he did. He just had Nebuchadnezzar in front of him, who, by the way, died. But, well, that's the way things go. They got the new king, this guy, to change the law so that affected Daniel negatively. You know, I never really looked into this, but I guess there was some kind of law that was different than this before, which they changed. But they couldn't change the law. Anyway, it's pretty crazy. So they got the new king to change the law so that it affected Daniel negatively, and the king didn't even know what he was doing. Have you noticed any changed laws in your circle? I'm not talking about the Democrats and Republicans. Forget them. I'm talking about laws in your circle. The way your friends judge you. They come up with new laws and cast you into a den, or at least try. Have you ever seen that? People in your own circles say things to you, do things to you, that seem like rewritten laws. Well, wait a minute. That's not how we used to play. We did it this way. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. If you're going to say it like that, wouldn't you have to do it for everything? Or on and on and on. People do this all the time, folks. Are y'all with me on this? Can you relate to this? You know, there's little sneaky laws that come in. Well, people do this when they try to find a reason to stand against you. They just grab for anything. They throw out rules and regulations that make no sense at all. Yet they seem to have become that person's standard, at least for that day. Don't give them any heed at all. Well, number 7, we learn that Daniel prayed as soon as he heard of the attack. You learn to pray. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he always did. He didn't care. He prayed as soon as he heard of the attack, and the prayer was what got him into trouble in the first place, because these guys saw him praying. Ah, really something. I recently led a person into speaking in tongues. I was down in Florida, and I was with this wonderful person. He worked there too. And we just started talking about the Bible. And within minutes, I shut his door, and I had the guy speaking in tongues. And it was fabulous. This guy needed that kind of prayer. And as a Christian, your ability to speak in tongues and doing it is what's going to make the difference between night and day. You guys that think you don't have to speak in tongues much, you guys that don't speak in tongues at all, you might just, you know, flash out a little prayer with your understanding once in a while and call it good. Y'all are the ones that find yourself in trouble. Because your ability to pray in the Spirit is so far beyond what Daniel had. And it has so much more potential to absolutely eradicate whatever your woes are. You've got to see it like this. First of all, the problem comes from within. For some reason, you haven't humbled yourself before the Lord. You haven't humbled yourself before His Father God. Something's wrong with your humility. If you are in a den, if you are troubled, the kind of trouble, it just doesn't seem to leave. You got a humility problem. I'm just telling you that point blank. You go read the part right above the roaring teethy thing, okay? You'll get the picture. It's time to reverse that humility issue. It's time. I'm not interested in how big you think you are. I'm interested in how you bow down before the Father. That's what I'm interested in. Because then our souls can have fun together. Can you have fun with somebody who has a humility problem? No. Absolutely not. You just can't. This is why I think a marriage is so wonderful. Because the husbands, you know, they're the leaders. Yep, they're the bold guys and all that. But really, it's the wife that drives so much of the stuff. You know that. We're still supposed to be head of the house. But if a man doesn't have humility to the wife's responsibilities in the house. Now, wife, you got to be doing the right stuff, okay? That's easy, though. Don't you just need a vacuum cleaner? Just kidding. Oh, yeah, well, I'll answer to this one a little later. It's okay. Last night we got home at 2 o'clock or 1:30 and finally bed 2. And Lynn and I were just sitting there and Michelle was up. It was really interesting seeing Michelle up that late at night, but she has some good reasons. And she didn't want to be alone. All the lights were on. All the lights. And Anyway, when Lynn and I finally had a chance, I said, well, are you going to go to bed? Huh? Oh, that was in the car. Okay, this was before Michelle and the lights. I said, what are you going to do when you get home? She says, well, you know, I'm vacuuming and got to clean the house and all that. I said, are you really going to do that? She goes, no. But she said, you know, then she said, are you going to work out in the morning? And I just looked at her, you know, because usually we go at 5:30 or whatever to work out at 24-hour fitness. And sometimes I wish they didn't have places like that. But anyway, we're there. And she goes, well, you know, why don't we just go now? It's almost 5:30. Okay, so, man, you can draw a line sometimes with how the women want to direct things. But don't throw her out with the dishwater, okay? I mean, be careful there. She's got some good things that she brings to the table, right? So, men, you be humble. And, of course, women, you already are tasked with submitting to your husband. So I think if you bring the submission and the humility in line, man, that chili's going to taste real good. Okay? That was earlier in the teaching. Well, this is exciting. You know that the planned attack is in motion when you see the attackers and or know of their presence against you. Daniel knew, and that's why he prayed. So you speak in tongues like crazy. It lifts the infirmity to God, the things that you don't know what to pray for. How many of you know what to pray for all the time, especially in the lion's den? Raise your hands. What? No hands? Well, that's what I expected. Boy, I was going to jump on whoever did raise their hand. Just kidding. The point is, you speak in tongues and the things that you don't even understand, the problems, right to God. You want those things at the throne. There's an altar before the throne. And when you pray, your prayers are put on them, and there's angels there that are responsible to make sure that they get to God. Okay? Now that's some of the process. Jesus Christ is involved in that. I don't understand it all, but I guarantee you, you want to get them up there. No matter how it works, you want to get them up there. Get them up there. Get them up there. When you get in trouble, get them up there. Get them up there. Chant it, you know. Go. Go, prayer. Go. Get it up there. Speak in tongues. Have a ball. See it. Imagine it. Just live it. Well, Daniel prayed. Verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Go figure. Go figure. You may not know exactly what they're doing, but you can know that they are doing things in secret with a person or people in power. You can be guaranteed of that. Never fear that this is happening or what these people are trying to do against you. Don't fear it, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Grow up. Okay? Quit messing with the little piddly nonsense. If you're focused on your troubles, and if you're focused on the cause or your perceived causes, you are losing. You have misdirected your body. Get focused on the Word. Well, these guys came near. And they, I guess this is verse 12. I got some verses here. I don't know where they came from. Is that it? Then they came near?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see what I did. I split them up. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man should ask a petition of any that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, all right, that Daniel, which is the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, he's naughty, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makest his petition 3 times a day. And right now I want to say, don't always discount those in power. You know, people in power that seem to be mounted up against you, don't discount those in power. There could be somebody fighting for you, even if he at first seems like he's not. Put your trust in God. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. Then it dawned on him what he had really done, and set his heart on, actually not what he had done, but what these creeps had done. That's what really was the problem. And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Even if the odds, this would be number 10, seem against you, it doesn't matter. Now, you're not going to understand me if you are always focused on your troubles and always focused on the cause or perceived causes of them. You need to be focused on the word, on getting deliverance. So even if the odds seem against you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, you know what that means? That you got to ignore some stuff. That you've got to put some things out of your life, out of your mind. You know, the mind, oh gosh, I just wish I didn't have to think like this. Oh, I wish I didn't feel like this. Oh, I'm just, oh. Oh, this is bad. Oh, there it comes again. Oh, I hate this. It's in the mind, folks. It's in the mind. Learn to deal with it. It doesn't matter. You need to have a chant, you know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So you're going, go, 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 prayer, go, go, go. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, make this thing come alive. Get out of that den. Quit messing in there. And get those nasty teeth off of your neck. Ugh. You realize how bad a lion's breath would smell? If things smell stinky in your life, that mouth is pretty close. If things look stinky, woo, baby, you know that chili's not going to taste any good. Don't dip in the pot. Learn to leave. Get away from the stuff that seems to be bringing the trauma. It doesn't matter. Wow, I love it. 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, na 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 na, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Well, I guess that's true. So now you're being forced to do things you don't want to do. Those teeth have got you pinned on the ground. Huh? Wonder who was really in the lion's den. Was it Daniel? Or was it the king? Wow. What an interesting way to look at this. So the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. There's your chant. He will deliver me. He will deliver me. He will deliver me. He will deliver me. Wonder who was in the lion's den. That king sure seemed to all of a sudden have it together. I wonder if you could apply something like that. Boy, how positive, how in the faith he all of a sudden was. And what about you? Oh, man, I've had a pretty miserable life. Debbie Downer, you know, right on the front stage of the runway. Oh, bad, real bad. Like to say something. He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you. You got to have that in your head. He will deliver you. Even if your fate seems sealed, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Even if your fate seems sealed, it doesn't matter. I want you to live on a different plane of understanding. I want you to put your body into the more than abundant lifestyle. It doesn't matter. You have to be a totally different kind of thinker to be like this. You can't have one foot on the earth and one foot in heaven, folks. That split is way too painful. Imagine a cheerleader doing that one, huh? Whoa! Ouch! They never even get it up there. Stop doing the splits. Get both feet in heaven. It says you're seated there. Well, bring your feet with you. Okay? Even if your fate seemed sealed, remember you are dealing with a lesser power. God is always more powerful. God is always more powerful. 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet. Imagine his pain. And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He couldn't sleep, could you? He was being tossed and turned in his own den. But he was going to find a way out, come hell or high water. What about you? You just can't give up. The king had all the odds against him. All the lords and their signets. Oh my gosh, those signets. How many signets do you have against you? How many lords have sealed your fate? So you think. Nobody's sealed your fate. Not one. You're too holy for that. I want you to rise up. I want you to stand upon who you are in Christ. I want you to be in the faith. I don't want one foot up and one foot down. I want you having both feet up in heaven. I don't want things smelling stinky because I don't want those teeth near. Oh, he's going to be walking. He's a Roman. He wants to devour, but he doesn't have to get his teeth on you. Bible says resist him, which means stand on the word, stay in the word. Tell him to take a hike. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When God sends his people to help you, they will come in haste as soon as they can come. There might be laws in place. There might be situations in place. There might be signets all around. But at some point, there's going to be a breakthrough. There's going to be a breakthrough. Are you looking for a breakthrough? You say, Jerry, you have no idea. Am I looking for a breakthrough? If you're looking for a breakthrough, folks, it's going to come. You do your part and get both feet up in heaven. You know what I'm saying? Hey, turn spiritual. Get humble before the Lord. Stop this messing around. Get the it doesn't matter attitude. Do it. Get those prayers a flying. Use what you've been given, my goodness. Use it. Have fun with it. Go home and pray and say, I'm busy. I'm praying. This is too good to be true. I'm just going to keep doing it for me and you. Do it. Just do it. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. Can you imagine the lament? Daniel. Daniel, are you still alive? I cry to people. I cry to people. I'll help you. I'll pray for you. Come and talk. Do something. I'll have lament. That's my lament. I don't want to see anybody devour, but I can tell when he's got the teeth around their neck. I ain't stupid. Are you? Are you stupid where you can't see the teeth? No. 1,000 times no. Well, if somebody's coming and saying, hey, I'm seeing some teeth here. I want to give a little helping hand. At least you don't have to wait like Daniel had to wait. By the way, Daniel had to wait several times. He finally got an answer from one angel, not here, but at another incident at the end of Daniel. And he said, why'd you take so long? And the guy says, I was fighting these other guys. I just couldn't get to you. So stop being so impatient. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. If innocency is found in you and you haven't gone and corrupted your walk, I don't believe the teeth are going to get around you. I believe that the teeth are going to get around your neck when you've really gone off kilter from the word. But they didn't even touch Daniel. He hadn't done anything wrong. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Isn't that beautiful? Believe in your God. Believe in his ability to help you. The laws God put in place work time and time again throughout time. Anyone who raises a hand against God's people will pay a price. They did in the old and they will in the new. Trust me. And they often pay that price with his or her life. Often I think to say to someone who seems to be taking a stand against me, you be sure that you want to do this. And I do say this to some, because no one's allowed to take a stand against God's people without paying a price. Are you sure you want to say this and do this? Because I know what the Bible says. Why don't you act like that? Go black and white on it. You look at them square in the eye and say, are you sure you want to do this? Because this is probably going to get you into trouble. And you might not like that trouble. Because the trouble that I'm talking about is trouble of a whole different nature than what you've been experiencing so far in your life. What you will often get to see, this is one of the last points. I've lost my numbers. I have 10 here, but I thought I already did 10. You will often get to see the paycheck or the payback unfold. Okay? Even though this might seem pretty cool, you're watching payback. Woo-hoo, remember that it is merely God's laws in operation, designed to keep order in the midst of chaos. They're laws, just like the law of gravity. This law of somebody striking God's people is also a law and real. Verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. And break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then is when the things change. And here we see that the laws can be changed back to something more righteous. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the den of the lions? And now we can get back to the abundance that God intended. Verse 28. So then Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Somebody else even. Ladies and gentlemen, if it's time for you to prosper, if it's time for your life to change, if it's time for you to implement your body into the way of the more than abundant life, and you have to determine that time, it's time to turn back to God and to do things His way. God will prosper you. He will take care of you. He will do everything His Word says. You have to implement your body in the right way, and you will see that deliverance. So let's get out of the lion's den if we're there. It's time to make the move, okay?
Okay.
All right. Love you.